Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. So, John, we both had some busy weeks.
You know what, though? When you just first introduce the show and you go, hello, it always just like sends this nice little calming, relaxing thing to me because it's like we're doing a show. All right, I can chill.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was just saying to you earlier, I'm on some good muscle relaxants right now because of my back, so I'm chilling anyway.
Nice. Nice. So I can be extra harsh is what you're saying and you won't care?
Probably not. I'd be like, yeah, whatever, dude. Anyway.
you need to be on one of those other shows that the Webmaster Radio Network sent.
Yes, Cannabis Radio. There we go.
Cannabis Radio.
Oh my gosh, are we ever getting like lots of interest from cannabis related businesses for SEO? Very interesting. Lots
nice.
Of work. Because of course they can't do any pay per click.
So nope, not at all.
That's going to have to change. I'm just kind of surprised that hasn't changed yet, but it's going to at some point.
Yeah, it won't change, I don't think, until they really get like a national decision. And as it's still state to state, I don't think they can change it. Yeah. But once there's some kind of national decision, they'll have to follow that.
Federal change, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But there are countries where that is legal. So how do they deal with it there, right? Can you do, you know, in Amsterdam, you know, that area, can you do PPC for marijuana? It's legal. There's a Google. I'm sure there's. Is that the Netherlands? Yeah, I'm sure there's a Google NE.NE.
It's a good question. Actually, maybe it's a policy of Google not to do that. They're a public now, so whatever money makes money, they're going to do. So yeah. At some point, they'll give up on that.
You and I have both been to Google. We know that the people at Google, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of them partake, as they say.
I don't know. Some of them are pretty straight-laced. I'm not so sure. But yeah, yeah. They certainly have stressful lives. Well, we sure have a lot on the show today, so I guess we better get going. It's tons of news. I guess it's just amazing how much has come out in the last little while. I mean, a little bit of repetitiveness, but what's new? Probably the best news, which you moved to the top, and rightly so, is that Google has finally, we've been muttering about this forever, removed the referral spam from Google Analytics reports.
Automatically. I mean, there used to be some ways you could get in and set it up, but now it's automatic, which is awesome.
We were getting so tired of going in there and adding new referrers. It was just, It just seemed pointless. It was ruining their tool. Because I can't even imagine how many people are going to be just what happened to my traffic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, explain what was going on for those that are not quite sure what we're talking about with referral spam.
Yeah. So if you have a Google Analytics account and you had it set up for your website, you could look at the traffic coming to your website and it would look pretty good. But then you'd look at the actual referrers, the people or the website sending traffic, and they'd be the weirdest names. Top promotions, all with hyphens, .biz or something. And that'll be like 50 or 80% of your traffic. And you're like, wow, what's this? And then you would click on it and that's where they get you. They'd want you to go and see who they were and then hopefully get stuck in their funnel and spend money or they'd get impressions for their ads or whatever it might have been. And the way they did this was they'd send false traffic signals to Google Analytics. They didn't actually visit your site at all. And it was totally poisoning Google Analytics. The data was practically useless until you remove these referrers manually through the setup of Google Analytics.
Right. So it wasn't actually real traffic going to your site, which gave you a false impression. So now Google is going to filter these things out automatically. So if like Ross said, if 50% of your traffic was coming from some of these referral spams, all of a sudden it's going to look like you've lost half your traffic in analytics. But while it seems that way, the traffic you lost wasn't real traffic anyway, so it shouldn't impact your business or your visitors at all.
you got to remember too, and I know this is it's true. This is very common. Most people that aren't savvy about this stuff see traffic as money, but it's not. It's traffic is just it can be useless. It's a matter of what traffic was leading to money. You shouldn't see any impact whatsoever in your bottom line from this change.
But the interesting thing is, and rightfully so, a lot of SEOs have been moving away from reporting on keyword rankings as their primary metric for success and reporting on traffic generated, you know, by organic search or traffic specifically to the site as quality traffic. But not everybody is savvy enough to be able to break out the different types of traffic. And they just say, look, your traffic's gone up. Well, now I was in an SEO that hadn't broken out really quality organic search traffic as the metric. And they're going to get this report that looks like the traffic went down. And they're thinking they might think they got hit by a, some kind of penalty or something like that if they're not really aware and up on top on this. Or if they're not reviewing the reports with their clients directly and the client just logs into something or gets a report that's automatically generated, they're going to see the traffic drop, and you know, now all of a sudden you're gonna have to explain what happened. It's much better to be proactive and go to your clients and say, hey, look, this is what's happening here. Google's fixing a problem, and you're gonna see a change in your traffic numbers.
Yeah, it's gonna weed out a lot of SEOs that aren't in the know, quote unquote SEOs, the ones that really aren't.
That's true. Or the new ones that are listening to our show trying to learn today.
Fair. Thank you. That's true. Sorry to be being so negative. That's very true. And kudos to you guys. I mean, you're on the right show. Well, we were just saying, you know, it's about time Google caught up to that episode when we were telling that referral spam was an issue and they finally listened. Yep.
So those emails you've been sending to John and Gary directly with links to the show have been working.
Yeah, I told them over beers last week.
Yeah.
I wish.
I think you mean you were talking about them over beers last week.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, gluten-free beers. Yeah, unfortunately.
I prefer Google-free beers, but that's just me.
Fair enough. So this is another one. Interesting. You posted here, sites with linking. Oh yeah, you better take this on. I don't know what this.
Sure. So this is something we've known for a while, but it came up at SMX West. So I thought that I'd bring it up again and talk about it. One of the Google presenters mentioned this, and when you have a manual action based on links, so you had some problems with your backlink profile, Google discovered them, they gave you a manual action, and you dropped out of the rankings, and you worked, and you say, okay, we fixed all our backlink problems, and we're waiting for Penguin to update to fix this, right? What they want to make sure you know is that once you have that fixed and once you've gotten rid of that manual action, you're going to lose rankings, because one of the things that they noticed was that you were outperforming where you should be performing because of those bad links. So those links were providing some kind of value to you, but they were the wrong kind of links. Either they were paid links or through spam networks or something like that. They actually worked. They provided a little value, so you were ranking better, but you got busted. So you got penalized. You had to clean up those links. When you get out of that penalty, those links are no longer helping you because, rightfully so, they're gone. That means you're not going to be ranking as higher as you were. And sometimes people get confused, like, well, I'm not penalized anymore. Why am I not ranking as high as I was? It's because you got rid of that I hate to use the word unethical, but those bad links that were actually doing good things for you, but since they were outside of Google's guidelines, you got busted for that, and you had to get rid of those, right? So you're not going to be ranking as well.
Yeah, it's really, and I've said this in the last few episodes, just because, I mean, so many bleeding competitor reviews, how many links out there still give benefits I can't believe how they've made it through the filter. So there's still a lot of businesses that are going to still get hit by all this stuff. It's just taking time.
Yeah, and I think because it is taking so long, there's going to be a huge, huge shakeup in rankings when Penguin finally does hit again. And not necessarily because people are going to get hit with negative stuff because of the new Penguin algorithm, but because all those people that have gone and fixed stuff are now going to be moving back into the ranking. So it's going to just totally shake up where everybody's at, because there's going to be like a lot of new players that are back in play that were out because of the Penguin issues. And once they fix them and Penguin says, oh yeah, okay, you're fixed and we're going to readjust you based on those fixes, it's going to shake things up a ton.
Might as well jump to that. Google says they're still working on it, so it's still not ready to roll out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funniest part of that whole article that I read about that is the Gary Iles said, I've given up on giving out dates for Penguin. I'm like, yeah, you should have done that a while ago.
Yeah. You, rookie, you.
Yeah.
We've long since, yeah. And it's funny that people would report and go, oh my God, it's happening, it's happening. But they would be the first to say, oh, well, whatever. I don't care. As long like I was saying, I'm very fortunate not to have any clients right now that are waiting for it. I'd hate to be in that position. And I'm sorry for those that are out there that are. It's got to be horrible.
Well, you think about it, right? If you're an SEO and if you've got a client a year ago, part of your pitch to get this client is, you know, I'm going to work. You've got backlink issues. We're going to work on getting these fixed. And once they're fixed, it's going to improve. You know, a year ago, you were under the assumption that the Penguin's going to update at least once or twice in the next year, 2 years, right? And that you should be able. But it's a year later, and your client's saying, hey, I haven't seen any improvement. What's going on? And how do you explain to them, like, well, it's Google's fault still because they won't update the changes we've made. The client's going to lose any kind of respect or trust in your ability to help them because Google's not doing the things they need to do to make your work valuable. It's really just kind of screwy.
Yeah, it really is. And fortunately, these companies, in many cases, are suffering through previous SEO work.
Yep, very true.
Yeah, they trusted the wrong people. And sometimes they were trusting people that did an amazing job of selling it. And it just seemed super ethical, but really weren't. It's just sad.
And this is actually kind of a good lead into the first Mueller file of the day. So we leave a space for the sound effect. Well, hopefully he put something there. Okay.
I'm not sure. I heard it already. I'm not sure. I'm hoping it is.
A good point. Oh, man, I forgot. That is pretty bad. Isn't it? All right. So when you think about the work you do for clients, right, and what can you do to help a client perform better in search? You know, backlink profile cleanup is obviously one of the big ones that we do these days. But there was an interesting Mueller file where someone asked John Mueller on a Google Plus Webmaster Hangout about, you know, why don't they tell us more about what happens? You know, what are the factors that we can do to help? And his answer was pretty interesting, I thought. And I'm going to quote here. It's a couple sentences. He says, there may be ticks you can get that can get you a, quote, point higher, unquote, in the search results, but they do not last. They don't last because it doesn't change how relevant your pages are for users. And thus the algorithm will adjust and your site will go back to where it was. So if you're just doing little tweaks, they're going to help. I mean, I don't think he says don't do them. I'm thinking he's saying don't expect those to make that big of a difference long term. So when we're talking about little, exactly. So I'm thinking, you know, and he didn't go into details about which ones, but I'm thinking things like, you know, there's all these little things that have been in the SEO roles of things to check off your list for so long. Like, you know, what's the code to content ratio in your HTML? Things like that, right? Yeah. That we looked at for years that don't mean a lot anymore, but you think, well, okay, if it's really bad, let's see if we can get it a little better. Those are the kind of things I'm thinking of. Even things like alt text and alt attribute, right? We know it doesn't have that much weight for relevancy. And it's a little thing you change. You add a keyword into an alt text on an image. That's so minuscule compared to
like title anchors. I mean, who knows? There's just all these little tiny things that you could do to really provide a comprehensive optimization that we can only guess how much impact it has. But it's really just a matter of crossing the T's and dotting the I's and just making sure you do it every time. And you've done the best job you can.
Yeah, but I think the key to that quote is it doesn't change how relevant your pages are.
Yes.
I mean, if you want to do better for your clients, you want to optimize better, make the pages more relevant. And that's the critical piece these days.
Yeah, agreed. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Google Search Console.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart or you've read their SEO code of ethics, seen other SEO experts, but did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Bring in unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrands with a...
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on webmasterradio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, Google Search Console may split out where your page is shown in the search results. Now, this is something I was saying to John. I see in SEMrush, one of my favorite SEO tools. Yep. It'll actually show you based on – it doesn't show for each ranking, but it, when you look at your organic rankings, the non-paid rankings, it'll show you all your rankings you have that it knows about. But it'll also show on the side – this is a new add-on – how many of them are in the knowledge graph and how many – which ones are linked also and which ones aren't linked. There's a lots of really interesting things that they've added now, and apparently Google's considering doing that, which would be great.
And I hope so, because I know – And to give you guys an idea what we're talking about, so like they specifically saying, you know, what was your, were you in the featured snippet box or an AMP page, you know, on the carousel of AMP? And I hope they expand it to other universal search elements like news or video or image blocks, some of those different types of search results we see in those organic searches. Because right now, if you're looking at your analytics and you get a link from somewhere on a Google search results page, unless it's an ad that you've specifically tagged so you can track it, you're not sure where on that page that link came from. It's been a big deal for me for a long time, because you know there's very frequently an in the news box, and if our traffic from news is featured in that news box, I don't know whether I'm getting traffic specifically from Google News or from Google Organic around that story, because you know if it comes from news.google, it's easy, but if it's in that in the news box, it's on the organic page. I don't know the difference. From an analytics standpoint, right? It's very hard to tell. This would help tremendously to tell us where your link is on the page. I'm excited about it myself.
Yeah, and just to show you, I just pasted an image for you. You can see it there, John. This is what they show for SERPs, our search engine results, in SEMrush. So they know how much of it's in the knowledge graph, how many of them are instant answer, how many are in the local pack, how many are in news, and how many are in images. Pretty cool, huh?
Yep, and I've seen that, but I still don't know whether that news – is from the news section or from the organic page, the in the news box.
I can find out.
Yeah.
Because you can click on those. They're links and they'll show you more. I'll click on one of the results to see what they show. Oh, poop. It's taking me more data. I don't want more data. I want to see the actual result.
I want to dig into that myself, because we use SEMrush too. Great tool. There's a bunch of tools that are like that. SEMrush, SpyFu is another one that's fairly good. I personally prefer SEMrush to that type of tool. Great data, especially for competitive analysis, like you said, Ross. It's good tool.
Yeah. Oh, it's loading. a snapshot of what it saw so I can actually tell you. For some kind of interest to see how that I barely ever use the snapshot tool, and I can see why. It's slow. Come on, load. While that loads, why don't we jump into the next piece here? Now that's the end of the Mueller files.
Yes, Mueller files is done.
So results in the AMP carousel can also appear in regular Google search results. So what does this mean? So accelerated mobile pages is something we've talked about in the last, quite a number of episodes now. It's a way of showing your web content in a highly mobile-friendly manner. And it's something that is recommended for any news-based site or anything that could be appearing in Google News. You know more about the carousel than I do, John, because you're always dealing with it. So why don't you take on that?
Well, this is interesting because it's actually been kind of a question for a while now. So when your pages show up in this carousel, the AMP carousel, you can swipe left and keep going and see a bunch of different articles in this carousel. When you're on a mobile device like a phone, you can see one, sometimes if you have a larger phone, two of these articles at a time as you're swiping. If your article number's, 12 on that list, it's like being on the second or third page of Google. No one's ever going to get to you. So people were worried that okay, if I'm that far down the list, no one's ever going to see my content, even though I'm in that carousel. But you can also show up on the organic results that display under the carousel. So that's an interesting. You have two chances now to be on that same page, which is not normal for Google, having pages show up twice or results show up twice on the same page. Mm-hmm. Now Mueller did say when they were talking about this, or I think it was Mueller, whoever it was, that they may decide at some point in the future that if it's in one location, it'll be filtered out of the other location. Whether that means that they decide whether you're better for the carousel versus organic search or vice versa, that's yet to be determined or seen yet. But right now you can be in both, which is good for now, but I wouldn't expect it to last forever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you ended with that because I was about to say the same. The double up? No, that doesn't sound like a very good search experience.
Yeah, that's not normal for them.
I'm surprised it's happening at all, quite frankly.
I think they're probably doing it because it's taking a while for a lot of news, big news organizations to get this AMP piece in place. So I think once a majority of the news content is in AMP format, they'll make that switch.
Well, the next piece of news here is about app install interstitials. There's a mouthful.
yeah, I still don't like saying that word.
Yeah.
That was just as bad when I had to figure out how to say concatenalization or spell it.
Canonicalization.
See, I still can't say
it. You need a British-aligned folks to help you out.
That's right.
What I've been reading this, and what I don't get about this is whether or not this is only – so on fake app interstitials. So it's only for – because what it looks like is what they're saying is when you're using your mobile phone, it'll look like an app interstitial, but it's actually just content that is before all the other content. And you have to scroll down the page, and then you see the actual content of the page. So it looks like something, but I guess what it's doing is it's trying to usurp Google's interstitial penalty.
Yeah, exactly. So there, people are trying to use so right now, if you have interstitials, those things that Ross can say better than I can, you actually don't get listed as a mobile friendly page, and you don't get the rankings benefit of having a mobile friendly page, right? So there's no actual penalty for having them. You just get flagged as not mobile friendly, which in itself means that you don't get the benefits of being mobile friendly, right? So it's one of those tricky situations where people call it a penalty, but that's not exactly what it is. But what the fake ones do is they apply all the content below this app thing, and I'm just not going to say it. I'm going to call it. I'm going to have to come up with my own name for it. Yes. The app I. But anyway, they put the content below it so it seems like a full content page that's mobile friendly. So basically, it's tricking their algorithm. And unfortunately, Yelp was one of the first companies to do this, and it worked really well for them and still works for them. And a lot of companies said, hey, it worked for them. I'm going to do the same thing. So a lot of people started copying that. And if they do this manual action against these things, it's not going to just hurt Yelp. It's going to hurt everybody that thought Yelp knew what they were doing. And they did know what they were doing. They just weren't doing it, you know, the way they Google wanted them to.
No matter what, using these interstitials, Yelp was trying to usurp Google. I mean, come on, you're. It's like, hello, are we going back to 1997 and SEO world?
I know.
They're doing what Google's hates. You're trying to piss them off, and now everyone else is copying, and they should know what they're doing better than that.
I'm not going to say I agree with what they did, but I understand why they did it, because that tool drove revenue, right? Mm-hmm. And because it moved people to the mobile device, and it drove revenue, and they were trying to protect their spreadsheets, basically their accounting spreadsheets.
Well, I think the interstitials. I can't do it anymore.
You're going to laugh with that every time you say it.
I am. The interstitials aren't really very innovative. I mean, it's done, you know, and they need to innovate to keep ahead of these guys. So anyone else using interstitials, just, you know, they're going overboard. They're already way past. They're using keywords to try and get rankings, you know, and they're stuffing them. It's just like the old days.
Yep, agreed.
Anyway, all right. That's enough about interstitials. I have an ideal. Anyone who's listening, replay this again. Have a shot every time we say interstitial.
Every time Ross says it.
Yeah, and every time John tries to.
No, that's a double shot there.
Yeah, that's a double shot. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, another thing on the news, and this was wonderful news. Wonderful news. I jumped ahead here, but I just like it so much, is that the toolbar PageRank is finally, officially being removed within the next 2 weeks. I mean, we talked about it before.
Okay, wait. Removed from what? Make sure they understand.
Okay, well, removed pretty much from the public eye. I mean,
from the Google toolbar, right?
Yes.
Just be really clear. From the toolbar that nobody in the freaking planet has installed anymore.
They still get telling me what their page rank is, and they're calling me. I'm like, are you serious? Okay, no.
Don't talk about jeez.
Add in their Alexa ranking. Oh, between the two, it drives me insane.
Yes. All right.
So, toolbar
If this worries you, if you're an SEO and you're worried because they're removing this, find a new career. Just telling you right now.
Thank you. Well said. So there was a time for anyone who's new to the industry that PageRank was a little colored bar that you would see on a page, and it would give you an idea out of 10 just how what Google thought of the page in terms of many things. But overall, people just thought Google likes me if it's above this particular range, like 6 or whatever. And people started living off this thing. At the beginning, I guess it was updated fairly regularly. And then after that, it became months and months and months. And then it became like a year. And then it hasn't been updated in years. But
they said officially they're never going to update it anymore. So my question then, why didn't they remove it then? Right? If we're never going to update it in the toolbar, why is it even there?
Well, that's a perfect example of how they love to F with us. F with people. You know, why didn't they just remove it? It's very well said.
So I have my trivia that I tell people, and we start talking about PageRank, and I tell them you can impress your kids and friends at cocktail parties. Hopefully your kids aren't at the cocktail party, but anyway, you know what I mean, right? So where does the name PageRank come from? Right. We think, you know, okay, that's the rank of the page. You know, it's the number assigned to the page because of its rank, backlinks, you know, the number of backlinks, the quality of its backlinks. That's its rank. That's incorrect. The name PageRank came because it was Larry Page's ranking system. That's why it's called PageRank. It's his name. Doesn't have anything to do with the page.
And yet they're brilliant enough to call it PageRank because they're smart guys. They know if there's a connection there. And yes, there you go. Anyway, yes, it was good news. Very good news. With that said, let's take a quick break. We come back. We got a few more pieces of news before the end of the show.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
The Web Marketing Association presents Great Moments in Website History. 1994, Trey G browses with a high-speed 56K modem. 1997, Donnie W. discovers scrolling. 2006, Smudges the Cat becomes an animated GIF. What is your great moment in website history? The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for the International Web Award Competition. Web Marketing Award winners receive an image plaque, certificate of achievement, higher visibility for your company, valuable feedback from our expert judges, and links to your site from the highly ranked Web Award site. Visit webaward.org to nominate your company, site, or organization. Deadline for entries is May 31st, 2016. Go to webaward.org and sign up today.
Reinventing keyword research, simplifying campaign optimization, redefining competitive analysis. SpyFu brings you an entirely new way to find the most profitable keywords for your SEO and PPC campaigns. New tools, new data, and a brand new look. We've streamlined SpyFu so that you can optimize your search engine marketing more efficiently, more accurately, and more intuitively. Visit SpyFu.com. That's S-P-Y-F-U.com. And start downloading your competitors' keywords now. Try it free.
Whether you are an online business or domain name investor, you need access to the best names. With over 270 million domains already registered, finding the right names at the best price requires a great wingman. NameJet.com puts you in the pilot seat by giving you fast and unparalleled access to some of the best premium and expired domain names on earth. As the number one domain name auction platform, NameJet.com is the best place to find domains for your business or investment. So light the afterburners to the domain name aftermarket and fly over to NameJet.com at Mach speed to get great domains today. NameJet.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. So, I love this, that they brought this up, because I'm getting so fed up with seeing these everywhere.
And it's another one of those things where they're reminding us of something we should already know, right?
Yes. So, Google's telling bloggers, you must disclose... And no, first disclose when you're reviewing gifted products. Someone sends you something saying, review this, please. We'll give it to you free if you do. Well, you also, so you have to disclose that you're doing that. This was given to you and you're doing this review as a result. And any links back to that product page has to be no follow to that brand, whatever it might be. No follow. No follow means that you're not passing any credibility. You're not vouching for that link. You're not passing any of your page. And we're going to go back to this again. Well, let's just say link popularity. Any of the juice from your site is not going to that site, which could help them. Yep. In this case, you're no following it. You're nulling and voiding that link. And then it's just. And then they also said you have to ensure that the quality of that post is high, and not just what everyone else has said. You know, you make sure it's something of good quality. And something that, and this is from. Search Engine Land. I believe Barry wrote it. It says, and I think what he said at the end is perfect, right on target. It says, quote unquote, yep. Often when Google publishes best practices around nofollow usage, weeks later, Google sends out manual action penalties for those who do not practice them. So be warned. So it's, yep. This is like a last warning. Shot off your bow. If you're doing this, get it fixed. Otherwise, you could see manual actions. And if you've seen we were just talking about Penguin and how long people had to wait for that to be those manual actions to be lifted the hurt to be lifted.
The pain.
Yeah, the pain. You do not want to be in one of those cycles, so don't risk it.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, the first question I get when this comes up in conversations is, well, how does Google know if I got something for this, right? A lot of times when you write it, whether you know it or not, you give plenty of clues. Because you're reviewing a product and you talk about the product, and whether you know it or not, you give lots of clues about how you got access to that product. So if you're going to try to skirt the system, which I do not recommend, just be careful about how you write about it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, and also, if you happen to have all the products you have were ones that were widely sent to people.
Yeah, reviews. That's a good point, too.
You're kind of showing your hand. So, be very careful. And just, we don't want you to be in trouble. And this could really get you in trouble. Google is just, they don't like this stuff. Anyways, that's something I wanted to share. So another thing is there's a couple tools today. We don't do this very often, but I happen to have noticed a link someone posted in the interior design forum of this cool little tool called Nibbler. It's a strange address, nibbler.silktide.com. And what it does is it takes a bit of time, but you punch in your website address and it will look at the content on the site. I'll just bring mine up here and give you a report. So overall score for a website, what the accessibility is out of 10. So that's how accessible it is to the disabled. 6 point, an experience, marketing, technology, and they give you a ton of tips on what you can do to improve it. I'm pretty impressed. I mean, it's I've seen worse, much worse. They give you the contributing tests, so you can dig into why they've said something. And so far, I've found it pretty reasonable. I mean, it's never going to compare to a real audit ever. But it's free, first of all. It's not going to go deep into your website, but it's had some decent information. It'll say that, for example, this one site I did has no link to Google Plus. It says, well, this page was found to contain some links to Google Plus, but none appear to be public Google Plus pages associated with this website. Recommendation is to sign up for a Google Plus page and make sure it is linked from your site, or if you already have one, make sure it's public. Same thing for Twitter. Same thing for printability. Print optimized pages. There's no print options. Interesting stuff. Like there's some of it may not be applicable. And that's where, that's unfortunately what you're going to get from an automated solution.
So I ran one of our sites on there as you were talking. So I started it right when you started talking about it. It finished just, maybe 10 seconds ago. So it just finished. And the first couple of things I'm looking at here are telling me that I'm not going to trust this tool. And I'm not saying overall, just but the first thing it tells me there's no analytics on my site. I know there's analytics. It also tells me that I have zero popularity because I'm not listed in Alexa.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly right. I'm like,
really shut a hole in this one.
The site I put in is the leading local news site in the market, and we get literally tens of millions of visitors a month, and it has zero popularity.
Have you checked Alexa?
No, and I'm not going to.
I wouldn't even know what the URL was if it wasn't so simple as just going to Alexa. But anyway, that's how little I go there.
So my first impression was like, okay, I'm not sure how well this is.
That's interesting. Yes, I haven't had that result yet. I've had some pretty decent ones. I mean, nothing fantastic, but again, better than most. So, give it a try. You might at least find something that you didn't know. It's free. What the hell, right?
Yep, true. Very true.
Yeah, and it's also it's kind of their lost leader to get you into Sitebeam, which is their main program, which you can pay for, the pro version. So, this is meant to be a bit of a tease, but I've found some interesting info. So there's something of worth there. Another one is shared by Tiamir. Sorry, I always get your name. I hope I'm getting it right, Tiamir. But Petrov from our Google Plus community. And it's called Resizer. It's actually from Google, which I had never known about this one. It's design.google.com/resizer. That's Resizer. And it's cute. It's very simple. What it does is you load your web. You go to a page. It's got three different size screens: one really wide, one really probably a laptop screen, and then a mobile screen. And they're blank. But if you put in your address at the top, it'll render your site in all the different versions or whatever site you plug in there, and you can see it. If you want to look more closely, you can select just that screen size, and you can even move them around. You can pick different screen sizes in a little bar at the top, kind of like a ruler, and just pick them. Like if it's 960, you can do that, 1280, 1440, 1600, and you get a good idea how your page renders. Pretty impressed. Typical Google. I'm just doing it right. That's good. Of course, don't get used to using it. It's probably going to be gone next week, but
Mr. Pessimist strikes again.
Yeah, well, I've got good reason. All right. Well, those are two little tidbits for you this week, and I hope you find them useful. Have you anything else you'd like to add, John?
No, that's good. I like those.
All right. Well, if you have any questions you'd like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google Plus. You can also email me via ross@stepforth.com or reach John via Twitter @JohnCarcutt. Have a great week, and remember to tune into future episodes, which air at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, every Wednesday on webmasterradio.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm. The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.